Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good to be out to God's house and good to see this number out. And just like everywhere right now, there's just sickness floating around all over the place. We've got some out sick and they're at home, and I'm glad they're at home. I'm glad they didn't bring it here for us to partake in the sickness with them, all right? But let's pray for each and every one of them. I know that they are watching online, but it is good to see this crowd out this morning. Before we take up offering and getting announcements, I do want to remind you, if you're a visitor here with us this morning, there should be a card there in the pew for you to fill out. Put your name on and your information and stuff like that. There's just that way so we can know who you are. And you might get something in the mail from us. I don't know, okay? So fill that out and drop it in the offering plate when the offering plate comes around, okay? Before we do take up the offering, I do have some announcements to make. We're going to start doing a calendar, a monthly calendar with church events on it and things like that. Me and Lene was working on this last night, and we couldn't get the font bigger inside the actual calendar part without messing it all up. But I promise April it will be much bigger, okay? Because I can barely see that, all right? So I promise the April one will be better, but it wasn't worth fighting at 10:30 at night, okay? So we're going to start doing this every month. That way you'll have a general idea of what's going on. And this is not taking the place of the bulletin. Stacy does a great job with the bulletin. We're still going to do that. But this will just be something that you'll have all month so you'll know what's going on, okay? Saturday, Dwayne told me. I'm glad he told me because I would have forgot. Turn your clocks back Saturday, okay? Forward. Hey, if you're here at 8 o'clock, have church anyway, all right? It don't matter, okay? So clocks forward, is that right, Dwayne?
Yes.
We're going forward, all right? Like a frog, hop forward, all right? So we're going to, I don't know why I said that, but we're going to spring forward, okay? And also, if you got a reef, they made those yesterday. I heard they had a great turnout with that. Pick up your reefs after church this morning, okay? So do not forget about that. Youth bowling trip right after church. I'm going to go downstairs and change. Then we're all going to hop on the church van and go bowling. We're going to eat at the bowling alley. We'll be back here around 2:15, 2:30. So reminding the youth about all of that, okay? And then I got one other huge announcement to make. Them Vols won last night. They beat that Tide, okay? I'm very excited about that, all right? First place in the SEC right now. All right. Nobody cares about that but me, I don't think. All right, I think that's all the announcements I've got, okay? I'll ask our ushers to come down, and we'll receive our Sunday morning offering. Dwayne and John's in an argument to see who's coming. All right. John, you care to bless the offering, buddy?
I don't ever want to forget that. I don't ever want to forget it. But I also want to remember that something else is waiting. Because of that, we've got something else to look forward to.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Hands that healed nations stretched out on a tree. Took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. Listen.
One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now he's ascended, my Lord, evermore.
Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried me, my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day, oh glorious day.
name. Beautiful song, beautiful words. I'm glad that He loves us. I'm glad that He saved us. And I'm glad that one day, praise God, He's coming back to get us. Hallelujah. God's not done yet. Jesus ain't done yet. The Holy Spirit is not done yet. And you know what? God's never going to be done. He's always going to be God. He's always going to be Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's always going to be there. And how thankful that we all are for that. Numbers chapter 21, if you brought your Bibles with you this morning, I hope you did. It's a great thing to bring the sword to church with you. And like I said, if we got any visitors with us this morning, I don't see any visitors cards in there, but if we have any visitors with us this morning, we'd love to give you all a big Liberty Fellowship welcome this morning, okay? Numbers chapter 21, if you brought your Bibles, we're going to start in verse 4. And Tom, you got? Is there a water there that's not been opened? Or I actually don't care if it has been opened. It don't matter to me. Thank you. I'm one of them real nervous types of people, so I always like to share a story to ease my nerves. I was talking to Sherry down in Sunday school, and we were talking about, you know, when me and Lene first started dating, and it dawned on me. I'm 3 or 4 years older than her. I think it's 3, maybe 4. But she was 13 when we started dating. And then all of a sudden, I was sitting down there, and I got sick. I started sweating because I realized that in 9 years, Ellie could be dating her future husband. And that bothered me a lot. And I still have not recovered from that thought this morning. And then it also made me realize that Addie in 11 years. And then it just got worse, okay? So I definitely need your prayers this morning, all right? Don't want to think about my girls growing up. They're all 3 under the weather this morning, so y'all be very much in prayer for them. It's weird being here without them. It's just weird for me. We go everywhere together. We always go to church together, so it might throw me off a little bit. It's something that I'm not used to. It might seem like a small thing, but it's a pretty big thing to me. My wife and my kids. So y'all be very much in prayer for them, all right? Numbers chapter 21, if you brought your Bibles. I'm going to read verses 4 through 9. Then we're going to go back up to verse 4 and start from there, okay? And the Bible says, "And they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. I'm going to ask Eddie Archer if you don't care to pray for me. Amen. Raise your hand in here If you have ever been bitten by a snake, we got one. All right. Raise your hand in here if you've ever been bitten by a venomous snake. We got none. Okay, that's good. I'm glad. I hate one of you got bitten by a snake, but I'm glad that it wasn't a venomous snake, okay? The thought that God's laid on my heart and on my mind this morning is a cure for a snake bite. A cure for a snake bite. Now, we're not going to be talking about, it's going to come up, but I'm not talking about a physical snake bite this morning that is actually from an actual snake, but I'm talking about a spiritual snake bite this morning, okay? And if you read in Numbers chapter 21 and you start in verse 4, you'll see here that the children of Israel are on a journey. Verse 4 it says, "And they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom." So in other words, the children of Israel here are on a journey. Now they should have already been in the promised land. God had every intention for them to be in the promised land. But through their actions and through their behaviors, they were still on a journey through the wilderness. And then I begin to think about all of us this morning. And we know that if we are saved, this is not our home. Amen. Heaven is our home. Heaven is our goal. Heaven is our finish line. And those that have already outstripped us in this life and had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they're already in heaven. Their race has been run. They have finished their course. But for those of us that are saved this morning, we're just waiting to cross the finish line. We're waiting to make it home. And if you're here and you're lost this morning, you have a spiritual snake bite. Amen. You have a spiritual snake bite, and that spiritual snake bite is not going to lead you to heaven, but it's going to lead you to a place that is called hell. And that's where all the non-believers are going to go when Jesus comes back, or if we die before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. We all, at some point in times in our life, we had poison in our system. We had poison going through our bloodstream. Now, I'm not talking about a poison that you ate physically or anything like that, but can I tell you this morning that sin is a poison? Can I tell you this morning that sin will kill you? Can I tell you this morning that sin will destroy you, that sin will eat you from the inside out? It's just like a snake bite, like a copperhead or a rattlesnake that's got venom in it or something like that. If you get bit by a copperhead or if you get bit by a rattlesnake, the very first thing that you need to do is try to get that venom out. Well, can I tell you this morning, the spiritual snake bite that Satan has gave every single one of us, there is somebody that can get that venom out. Amen. And it's not a doctor or anything like that. It's not a surgeon or anything like that. But that snake bite that Satan gave every single one of us, that venom that he bit us with, bless God, Jesus Christ can remove every single bit of that venom. Jesus Christ can remove every single bit of that poison. But when you look at verse 4 here, you're going to see that the children of Israel are on a journey through the wilderness. Folks, we are on a journey through the wilderness this morning. This world that we live in is a wilderness. If you look at the things the children of Israel went through in the wilderness, I wrote down some of them here, but they went through a scarcity of food, and they went through a scarcity of water. Think about the whole world. Don't think about Johnson City, but think about the whole world. Has anywhere in the world went through a scarcity of food? Yeah. Has anywhere in the world ever went through a scarcity of water? Yeah. Drought. So this applies to us as well. The children of Israel, when they were journeying in the wilderness, they had threats from their neighboring enemies. Have we had threats from our neighboring enemies? Yes, we have. The Bible says in the end of times, there will be wars and there will be rumors of wars. Well, folks, all you got to do is turn on the news for 2 minutes and you're going to find out that there's wars going on and there's rumors of other wars going on. So we are living in a wilderness. The harsh environment
that the children of Israel had to live through when they were going through the wilderness. And God didn't have any intention for the Israelites to be journeying through the wilderness like this for 40 years. He had every intention when they got out of Egypt to go straight to Canaan. Just like with us this morning, God didn't have any intention for us to be living in the wilderness that we're living in. But when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, it turned into a wilderness, folks. Where we would have to encounter and where we would have to go through all of these things. So what are some things in this wilderness that we're living in? What are some things that we have to go through? Death. You ever went through losing a loved one? It's hard. Sickness. We know what that is right now. Sickness going around all over the world and things like that. And in our community and in our church community. War. Financial burdens, that can be a journey through the wilderness. Stress at times can be a journey through the wilderness. Worry can be a journey through the wilderness. Jealousy can be a journey through the wilderness. Being lied about, being talked about behind your back can be a journey through the wilderness. You can throw all kinds of things in there this morning, folks. And I think if we all looked at our life and look at things that have happened in our life, we can say, man, our time here has been a journey through the wilderness. Amen. But are you not thankful that at the same time you can say that your time here has been a journey through the wilderness, you can also raise your hands and say, my Lord and my God have never left me and have never forsaken me? Amen. I'm glad that we can also say that too. So before we continue through this morning, let me say, as you journey through this wilderness and as you journey through hard times, just like the Israelites here are too, let's not give so much attention to the wilderness that we lose attention on God. Amen. Let's not give so much attention to the wilderness that we don't focus on Jesus and that we don't focus on the work that Amy and Amy and Henry sung about this morning, the work of the cross of Calvary, praise God. As we journey through the wilderness, let's not forget about that. So that's in verse 4, but now I'm going to finish verse 4 right in the middle. So the children of Israel are journeying through the wilderness, and the Bible says, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. You ever got discouraged in this wilderness that we're living in? I think we all 100% could answer yes to that this morning. I'm not going to lie to you this morning. I'm a little discouraged. I don't like that my three girls are sick. That discourages me this morning, okay? I'm sure we all could point at something in our life this morning as we've journeyed through this wilderness that has discouraged us in the past. You may be going through something right now where you're just discouraged in the way. You're discouraged in the wilderness you're in right now. And you may be right now, you might not have no discouragement in your life. Everything could be going right. And I don't mean this mean or to bust your bubble or anything like that, but wait till tomorrow. Or wait till next week. Wait till next month. Wait till next year. See, because we live in this wilderness and because Adam and Eve introduced sin in this world, we all have to go through some point in some time, some type of discouragement. It's going to happen. If you're here this morning and you're saved and you think that you're never going to be discouraged again, that's a lie straight from Satan. You are going to be discouraged. The devil is going to fight you tooth and nail to keep you discouraged this morning. So we can find here that the children of Israel are discouraged. Now I know the children of Israel through their actions have put themselves in that situation. I understand that and I get that. But can I say this morning that sometimes through our own actions we put our place in a place of discouragement?
Amen.
Just like they did.
Yep.
Just like they did. You see, it's easy to point the finger and say, well, I'm discouraged because of this. Or I'm discouraged because of that. And sometimes that's the case. But sometimes we're discouraged because of our actions and what we've done. Okay? So we can be discouraged in the journey this morning. So the Bible says in verse 4, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Now, what happens when you grow discouraged? You get impatient pretty fast, don't you? I don't know about you, but I want Ellie, my daughter, I'm just using my family as an example. You can use this any way you want. I want Ellie to feel better right now. I don't want to wait till tomorrow. I want Lene to feel better right now. I don't want to wait till the end of the week. Everybody that's sick in our church this morning, I want them to feel better right now. That's just my human nature. Somebody that's sick in the hospital and you're waiting on them to get out of the hospital, it's all of us right now. We want them out right now. It's just our human nature to think that way, but we can grow impatient in the journey. We can get discouraged in the journey. What does impatient mean? Quickly irritated, provoked, restlessly eager. The journey can go so long that we get impatient with God. Has the journey ever got so hard and has the journey ever got so discouraged that you begin to lose your patience with God? I've had moments like that. I don't know if any of you all have, but I've had moments like that in my life where I begin to get discouraged and I begin to lose my patience with God and things like that. And what happens as a result of that is we get the "are we there yet" mentality. I can remember being in the car. I can remember riding to the beach with Papa and Nina or Mom and Dad. And son, we would come out of the holler on Stony Creek and I would pop my head up and say, "Are we there yet?" Wasn't even close. We still had a 6-hour drive. If Mom was driving, if Dad was driving, it was about a 10-hour drive. Bless his heart, Dad. Whatever the speed limit is, Dad's going 5 below. Now, whatever the speed limit is, Mom's not here, so I'll say it. She's probably watching online. But whatever the speed limit is, Mom's going about 20 above. Now, Mom, I'm sorry, but I don't think you can get a speeding ticket for what I say online. I don't know, okay? I won't tell everybody that you drive a white Ford truck. All right. But we can grow impatient in the journey. And sometimes we can be in the wilderness and say, "Are we there yet? Is it over yet? God, I'm tired of being discouraged. God, I'm tired of journeying through this wilderness. I'm tired of being restless. I'm tired of being impatient. Is this over yet? Are we there yet?" mentality. And that's a dangerous mentality to have this morning, folks, because at the end of the day, God has His time. You know, when Lazarus died, you know, they kept saying that God was 4 days late. And I believe they sang a song here that says 4 days late. But can I tell you this morning, bless God, that when God is 4 days late, He's right on time. When we think that God is a year late, He's right on time. When we think that God is 3 months late, He's right on time. When we think that God is 20 years too late, He's right on time. God's timing is perfect in every way imaginable this morning. That's why it's important that we keep faith and that we keep trust in God this morning. I got people in my family. And I've asked God, "Are they there yet?" That's lost. Are they there yet? Are they where they can accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? Are they being convicted? Are you keeping them up at night, giving them sleepless nights? Lord, are they there yet? Are they there yet? I want people in my family saved. We've all had that moment. Are we there yet? We grow impatient in the journey. The "are we there yet" mentality. Let's continue reading this, verse 5. "And the people spake against God and against Moses." And the Bible says, as we continue in verse 5, "Wherefore have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" So these are the people speaking against God. They're saying, "God, why in the world did you bring us out of Egypt just so we could die in the wilderness? We might as well just die in Egypt." Can I tell you, folks, there's nothing good in Egypt. Can I tell you, there's nothing good in bondage. There's nothing good in sin. There's nothing good in being a slave to Satan this morning. But bless God, there's great in being free in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, the freedom that you got in the Lord Jesus Christ, the government can pass any law they want. The world can pass any law they want. But I want to tell you something. When God gives you freedom from sin and you have perfect relationship with God and you are in fellowship with God and you are in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it don't matter what laws are passed, you're free indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. You're free indeed. But when we grow impatient, we start to go out of character. I don't know if Scott put that up there. We're big Beauty and the Beast. The girls love Beauty and the Beast. So this is a picture of Beauty, as you can see. And then here's a picture of Beast. Have you ever been beautiful, but when you grew impatient, you acted out of character and you became a beast? I have. What does it mean when we act out of character? We question God. The children of Israel right here, Mike's laughing really hard at that. I don't know what KJ said. KJ might have said, "Mike, you just look like a beast all the time." I don't know what KJ said, all right?
We question God. They're questioning Moses. They said, we hate this food. God blessed them from manna, with manna from heaven, and they literally said, we hate this food. Can I tell you this morning, bless God, I don't hate any blessing that God's given me. I don't hate any blessing that God has given me. We ought to give Him praise and humble adoration for the everyday blessings that He gives us, praise Amen. God. And I can assure you this morning that in the wilderness that you're living in, God is still blessing you. It may not be the blessing you want, but I can assure you right now, God is still blessing you. So praise God for it. You see, when we're in the wilderness, I don't want to act out of character. Because you see, when we're in the wilderness and we act out of character and we start acting like beasts that was up here, you know what it does, folks, us that are saved? It absolutely destroys our Christian witness. Because a lost and dying world is watching us. And that lost and dying world, some may end up going to church at some point in time, but a lot of them won't. And the greatest message that they see is the life that we live every single day. Amen. And when I'm living in the wilderness, hallelujah, I want God to give me the strength and the courage and the boldness and the faith and the trust in Him that I don't get out of character. Because that co-worker that I work with, if I'm having a bad day and he sees that I lose my cool and he sees that I lose my temper and he sees that I say something that I shouldn't be saying, and then what the devil gets on his mind and saying he's a preacher and he's a talking like that and he's a acting that way and things like that, I have destroyed my witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, all because I got out of character in the wilderness. So God, give me the strength. God, give all of us the strength to stay in character even when we're in the wilderness, hallelujah. Now, can I tell you this morning, if you're lost, you're in the wrong character this morning. You're a beast, not in a good way. I'm not saying like you can go out here and pick up a car. I'm not saying you can go out here taking the youth bowling that you're going to bowl and go bowl a 300, a perfect score, or anything like that. I don't mean it that way. What I mean by beast is this, and I'm not talking about you physical appearance, but I'm talking about the spiritual on the inside. A hideous individual. Somebody that's unworthy of heaven. But man alive, God can change your character this morning. Amen. God can change your character this morning if you're lost. So when the journey gets long and hard and our patience is running thin, let's not lose character. Let's not get out of character. Now I'm going to tell you how to do all these things in a minute. But we've talked about how we're journeying through the wilderness. We talked about how we get impatient in the wilderness. And we've talked about how we grow impatient in the wilderness and get out of character. And then something usually happens. Something usually happens when we've grown impatient and when we've gotten out of character while we're in the wilderness. Ain't it amazing how God will do something to open our eyes? Ain't it amazing how God will do something to open our eyes? So let's look at verses 6 and 7 here. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Now I'll tell you right now, I don't like snakes. I don't like gardener snakes. My great-great-grandmother, I used to mow her yard for her. And about every time I went down there, there was the biggest black snake you'd ever see. And I would try to run over it on the lawnmower. Well, my great-great-grandmother was in her 80s, had a dislocated hip because she was too stubborn to never have surgery. And that's the fastest I have ever seen her get up out of a chair on a porch with her cane. Nicholas, don't run over that snake, that black snake. It keeps the bad snakes away. I was like, Granny, they ain't no such thing as a good snake. But she didn't like that. Fastest I ever saw her move. She's in heaven now. But man, I don't know about you, but that opened my eyes. If I was in the wilderness and I saw all these serpents coming and they were spitting out fire and things like that, that opened my eyes. God is opening the Israelites' eyes right here. So if you're in the wilderness this morning and you have grown impatient and you're out of character, God's going to do something to open your eyes. Why? Because He loves you too much. As much as the children of Israel complained against God, God gave them chance after chance after chance. Why? Because God loved them, and that was God's chosen people. Can I tell you this morning that God has given us chance after chance after chance because He loves us? If you're here and you're lost this morning, do you understand that God has given you another chance to get saved? Thank God for it. That's wonderful. So God opens their eyes. So in verse 6, we see, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And then not only that, they start biting the people. Whew. And they bit the people. And much of the people of Israel died. So God sends these fiery serpents. And the people that get bit, they start dying. You see, at this moment here in verse 6, there was no cure for the snake bite. If you got bit by the snake, you were automatically dying. Can I tell you this morning, folks, that because of Jesus Christ and the work of Calvary, the snake bite that Satan has given you, you should be praising God right now that you're not dead. That God has brought you to church this morning, and that Jesus Christ has a cure for the snake bite this morning. Amen. He has a cure for the snake bite. You know, we like to look at the cross as being a place of doom and gloom and where Christ was suffering at his most, and no doubt he was. But I want to tell you something. When you start looking at the cross, and you start looking at the spiritual meaning of the cross and what it meant and what it represents, I want to tell you something right now. What happened at the cross of Calvary was a very beautiful thing. That Jesus would shed his blood for poor lost sinners like every single one of us, that he would die a death, that he would carry a cross that we all should have been carrying, but he carried it and died for us. The cross is a beautiful scene this morning. Because it's our cure. It's our cure this morning. Verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. Don't die this morning with a bite from Satan. Because if you do, you're dead. Ain't no hope for you. And what I mean is, don't die lost this morning. Don't die lost. Let's continue with verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses. See, their eyes have been opened. Their eyes have been opened now. And they see these fiery serpents and they see that all these people are dying. So their eyes have been opened. So now they start running to Moses, the person they were complaining against, and the person that Moses was getting his directions from God. They start running back to him. Ain't it funny how sometimes the person we complain about, we end up running back to him? Yeah, we do. That's funny how it works out like that sometimes. But God opens their eyes. You look here at verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." We've got confession right here. They are confessing to Moses, and more importantly, they are confessing to God that they have sinned. Listen, if you're here and you're lost this morning, you don't have to confess to me. You don't have to confess to Pastor Dan, but you do have to confess to God this morning. You can't be saved unless you at first you confess that you are a sinner and that you need help. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with you confessing that you are a sinner and that you need help, because all of us that are saved this morning, at one point in time in our lives, we all did the same thing. We all had to confess. So the first thing you got to do is confess. For we have spoken against the Lord, they're being specific about their sin, and against thee, and how they spoke against Moses. And then they tell Moses here, pray unto the Lord. Woo! They're telling Moses to pray and talk to God. They're telling Moses to intercede on their behalf. Can I tell you right now, and I know I keep referencing that song that Amy and Henry sung, but can I tell you, when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, he was interceding on our behalf. Can I also tell you this morning that because he rose on the third day, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and you know what he's doing? He's interceding on our behalf. Well, glory to God. That's why it's so important to pray. Don't use prayer as the first option. Don't use prayer as the last. I've heard before, well, we need to pray first. We don't need to pray last. Well, I want to rephrase that a little bit. Let's not use prayer as the first option or prayer as the last option. It should be the only option. Amen. There shouldn't be any more choices than that, bless God. Just pray, hallelujah. Shouldn't even be a list of options. Just pray. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Now you're going to notice in verse 8 and verse 9 as we continue reading this that God doesn't take the serpents away. But he does give them a cure. Listen, folks. We're living in a wilderness. And God ain't going to take away what we're going through. But I can assure you he's giving us a cure, praise God.
Thank God for it. Let's get in verse 8. I hope y'all are getting something out of this morning. I'm loving it. We might not even forget bowling. Let's just have church, all right? I'm kidding, kids. We're going. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. So he's telling Moses here to make him a fiery serpent. He's going to make it out of brass. And set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. So up to this point, everybody that had been bitten by a fiery serpent, they die. But God tells Moses to make a fiery serpent out of brass and to place it upon a pole. And whoever gets bitten by this fiery serpent, as long as they keep focus on that pole, as long as they look at that pole that Moses told God to build, they're not going to die. So can I tell you this morning that when the journey through the wilderness and we get impatient and the journey gets hard and we start acting out of character, when God opens our eyes, let's focus on what is it. And I've heard Dan say this, so I'm going to say it. I hope I get it out right. But you all can finish it. I know you can. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament. Excellent job. Good job. Can I tell you that this is pointing to a picture of Jesus Christ at Calvary? This is pointing to a picture of what Jesus Christ is going to do for us at Calvary. How beautiful that the cross is this morning. So can I tell you, when you're going through the wilderness and when you get snake bitten and when times grow impatient and you start acting out of character, when God opens your eyes, turn your attention not to a pole with a brass snake on it or anything like that, but turn your attention to Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. Because when you turn your attention to Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary, you'll understand and you realize, hey, He died so I could survive the wilderness. He died so that when I get snake bitten from Satan, I can be made cured. I can be healed. I can be made whole. I can be made holy this morning. Turn your attention to the cross. Turn your attention to what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. Verse 9, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a certain had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. A cure for a snake bite this morning. We've all been snake bitten by Satan. We all have sinned and we all have come short of the glory of God. That's what that snake bite is. But hallelujah, this morning, there's a cure for that snake bite. You just got to look to the cross. You got to look to the cross this morning. You've got to confess your sins to God, not to me. You've got to confess your sins to God, and you've got to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior through faith. That's all you got to do this morning. And that snake bite is cured just like that. So if you're here and you're lost, I want you to remember that. But if you're here and you're saved this morning and you're journeying through the wilderness and you've done some of these things that God's laid on our heart and on our mind for this morning, turn your attention to the cross of Calvary. Because I can assure you right now, it's going to make you feel pretty good. Real good about how much God loves you. Okay? Let's everybody go ahead and stand to your feet. Les, you got a song picked out. Becky, you can come to the piano. If God's spoken to anybody this morning, saved or lost, I'm going to ask you to come down to the altar this morning and pray and talk to God about it. I'll be more than happy to pray with you too. Bring somebody with you if you need to. This is a loving church, folks. You don't want to come down here by yourself. Bring somebody with you. Thank you.
I appreciate everybody's prayers. Appreciate everybody's fine attention. Don't forget, if you got a wreath, go over to the fellowship hall and get it after church this morning. Youth, I'm going to go downstairs and change clothes. Then we will get on the church bus and go bowling and eat some pizza and things like that. Do not forget about our church services tonight as well. And it was great to have Dan back with us, our pastor. He was out Wednesday sick, and he's feeling better, but his voice ain't quite where it needs to be right now to get up here and speak or anything like that. So I was able to help him out this morning. But, Dan, we missed you Wednesday night, and we're glad that you and Susie was able to come back this morning too, okay? And glad that Tom was feeling better too. He was out sick Wednesday, and God brought him back able to teach Sunday school this morning. God's been good, folks. Amen. Give him the praise and glory and honor that he deserves, okay? I'm going to ask Anthony, go ahead and dismiss us, buddy.